Romans chapter 5 begins with this great statement concerning right standing with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we looked at that particular text, we saw that right standing before God, it gives us entrance into the very inner precinct of the holy place of God. And we have peace with God. As verse 2 tells us, it is Jesus Christ through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, our access by grace into this faith in which we stand. It's a wonderful thing to be able to enter into the presence of the living God. And we talk about the hope of the Christian, the hope of the resurrection. And the Apostle Paul tells us that we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Obviously, that ought to be the posture of each one of us as we look at this world on one hand and we think about the difficulties that we often encounter in this life. On the other hand, we have that great hope which is extended to us through Jesus Christ. And so it's of no small consequence that the text goes on to say, and not only this, we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint. The hope we have is refined as we walk in this life and we push through some of those difficult times. And we know this hope is real, Paul says in verse 5, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In the end, it is that subjective, heartfelt, spiritual witness that gives us confidence in the living God. And when we have that rock bottom confidence, when we have the love of God poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us, we can't be shaken. Isn't that the case? And so in the end, it is this internal witness which is so important. But in the beginning, it's not the internal witness which is important. It's an objective witness which we can see that is important. And that brings us to verse 6. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Although the internal witness of the Spirit and the love of God poured out in our hearts is of importance, in the end, at the beginning, right? Paul goes back to the beginning. In the beginning, it is the fact of the work of Jesus Christ in history which is of utmost importance. And that's our text this morning in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And so I say, in the very first point in our outline, Paul lays before us the objective work of Jesus Christ as the ground of love. You can say, I have that witness in my heart, but if you don't see objectively the work of Jesus Christ and trust Jesus Christ, of what good is that sense in your heart? How do you know it's really the Holy Spirit that's at work? It has to be tied to that objective work of Christ. And so that little word for at the beginning of verse 6 is very important. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And Paul bears down on this objective work of Christ. He does so in verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, there it is again. That outward demonstration, and we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks, the Lord willing, that a demonstration is something that we participate in. It's something that we look at, we handle, we touch, we participate in. It's outward and objective and concrete, something that we can lay our hands on. And that's terribly important.
And in the end, that love of God demonstrated to us through the gospel is the foundation on which we stand. And it is the purchase of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ, I should say, that purchases the Holy Spirit for us, poured out in our hearts. So we're looking at this verse in Romans 5, 6 as the ground of the love of God which is given to us. And I say then in the second point, to really appreciate God's love, you must comprehend your own moral helplessness before God. Notice that I say not your own physical helplessness before God. It's not physical helplessness that we're concerned with. You know, sometimes I think we really do get the wrong idea when the gospel is proclaimed and individuals who preach the gospel say, you know, you're weak. You're helpless before God. Those in the audience say, hold it. I've just been in the weight room. I'm not weak. I am strong. I've just gone through a long week in the field, in the office, and I've accomplished the tasks that were given to me. I'm not weak. I know that I can accomplish certain tasks that are assigned to me in my business, in athletics, in the schoolroom, and I agree from that perspective. You may be very strong. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul's talking here about a moral weakness, a moral inability. And there's a big distinction that needs to be made. Keep your finger there in Romans chapter 5 and turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1 and the 15th verse. I had a fellow tell me not too long ago that he wanted to do an imitation of Denny, and the imitation of Denny would be having your finger in several fingers in several places in the Bible. At any rate, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul is speaking about the preaching of the gospel, and he says, some to be sure are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. From goodwill. In other words, they have good intentions. The inclination of their hearts is toward God. They have a good will. They have a good desire. I don't know why this occurred, but the text in Luke that has this very same word occurred to me, came to me, as I was lying in bed. It is in a text that has to do with a message from angels that come to shepherds on a hillside at the birth of Christ. And the message ends something like this: peace on earth to men of good will. And that text has always bothered me. And it's the very same word that's used in Philippians here. And I think it's the same concept that we find in Romans. And it has to do with the willingness of an individual to follow Jesus Christ and having a deep and humble desire to know the will of God and to follow the will of God. Yesterday I spent several hours watching the Promise Keepers rally on television.
And one of the things that occurred to me as I watched that rally was this. That, you know, they're really being straightforward about the sin that a lot of these men have been involved in and the call to repentance that's necessary. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And when we preach the goodwill of God, we have that sort of thing in mind. We want to do the will of God. We want to preach so that men and women will come to God. And there aren't ulterior motives. And you know, I thought to myself, you know what happens in our church, and I know it happens in many other churches? We don't preach the truth the way we ought to because we're intimidated and someone may be angry at us because we point out their sin. We point out something that's wrong in their life. And we don't do it the way we ought to. And the blessing of God as a consequence is not upon us. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 5? Go back there, if you would. For while we were still helpless, you see, the point is here that in too many circumstances we have ill will. We do not have good will within our hearts. And I'm pointing the finger at myself when I say this. We have ill will towards others within the body of Christ. We have ill will towards individuals in the community. And morally, we are despicable in the sight of God. Is this not the case? It's an amazing thing that we can think so highly of ourselves when we ought to be crawling under the turf in our front yards in humility. That's what Paul means by being helpless, recognizing our own degradation, our own sin, our own moral depravity. Even though we may be of high intellect, even though we may be of great strength physically. For while we were still helpless, Paul says. And so I'm saying, to appreciate God's love, you must comprehend your own moral helplessness before God. And then I'm saying, to appreciate God's love, you must understand the ungodliness which stems from your moral weakness. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, who are the ungodly, folks? Well, obviously, that's not me. Correct? Well, some of you would dispute that fact. What about us? Are we the godly? Are we? What does it mean to be godly? It means to be like God. It means to be like Jesus Christ. And to be like Jesus Christ means that in every respect we walk by the ordinances and the statutes of the living God. That we keep all of the commandments of God. How many would say, I do that. I'm sitting on my hands. That's not the case. And even as we have briefly reviewed the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. And we understand that Jesus says that if we have hatred in our heart toward another individual, that that is a violation of the commandment. Think of King Saul. Think of King Saul now. We read that text in 1 Samuel 18. And King Saul was the head of the people of God, the visible church of Christ in the Old Testament. He was the head of the church.
strikes me as I say that, that there is some consternation in England these days that the head of the Church of England may someday be an adulterer. What was King Saul? King Saul was a murderer. And as he sat in his house with a spear in his hand, he threw that spear at David. And the scriptures say twice he did that. And what did King Saul want to do? He wanted to pin David to the wall. And does that mean that he wanted to just get the sleeve of his coat and pin David to the wall? I doubt it. He wanted to pin David to the wall by piercing his chest and putting that spear through David's heart. What does the Bible say? Again, 1 John chapter 2. And if you want to look at it with me, turn there again. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The individual who says of another person in the visible church of Jesus Christ, I hate that person, the Bible says, you're in darkness. You may profess Christ, you're in darkness. That's what the Bible says. What am I to say? What the Bible says? Are we to hear what the Bible says? I think so, folks. To appreciate God's love, you must understand the ungodliness which stems from the moral weakness which adheres to our hearts. In the fourth point, I say, to appreciate God's love, you must understand God's sovereign timing and control of history. What does Romans chapter 5 tell us? Again, look at our text if you would. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And when the scriptures speak here, it is not just that this happens to be an especially appropriate time. It is the appointed time. That's what it means. Some of you will recall the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. There is a time to live, a time to die. Do you know what that means? There's an appointed time. There's an appointed time to die. Our days are numbered, the psalmist says. That's what Ecclesiastes 3 means. And that's what it means here also. At the right time, at the time when the world was prepared, when all of the Old Testament scriptures had been written, when all the prophecies had been written, when the Old Testament people of God had been taken by God through all of the activities, all of the battles that God wanted to take place, at the right time, Christ came into the world. At the time appointed by God. And he died. That's what the scriptures tell us. Look at our text again. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For while we were still helpless, At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. The sovereign God sent Jesus Christ into the world to live a perfect life and to die on Calvary's cross to pay the debt owed by helpless, ungodly sinners. That's what he did. Again, our text. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died. And we know he died. This is an historical fact. No one disputes that fact. He did die. What some dispute is the following words. For the ungodly. And that little word for means in the place of. So that you don't have to hang on a cross. That's what it means. That he willingly went to that cross and bore in his own body the awful punishment, the wrath of God for sin, due to people like you and me. That's what it means. For the ungodly. I'm just blown away by that, because as I looked at it, I realized that the very call to worship which we used this morning speaks of this. Would you turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 40 and look at what it says there? Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sin. Folks, see, this is the message for those who are in Jesus Christ. The warfare is ended. The iniquities are paid for. You see, when we realize our helplessness before God, that we actually are sinners in the sight of God, that we actually are ungodly individuals, and God is at war with ungodliness, that we stand in the place of being defeated ultimately by the ruler of the universe. Do you want to go to war with the ruler of the universe? I don't. That's a losing proposition. I don't care who you are. There are some who boast that they can do all, but I say that you're not going to win the war with the ruler of the universe. And those who lose the battle with the ruler of the universe are cast forever into eternal perdition and suffer the penalties due to them for their own sins. That's the point. And those who come to Jesus Christ and have hearts of goodwill to embrace Jesus Christ, the message is the warfare is over. There's peace with God. Back to verse 1 in Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. When the warfare is ended, we have peace with God. We are at peace with God. We no longer anticipate judgment, but we have hope. Hope in the glory of God. Glory which is to come. There is a resurrection which is to come. Jesus Christ will come a second time in glory. And the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall all be changed. And we will meet Jesus Christ in glory. And there will be heaven and ineffable bliss. Because the warfare is ended. Jesus Christ has taken all of the awful wrath of God upon himself in the place of ungodly and helpless sinners. And so I say, in point 5 of the outline, to appreciate God's love, you must grasp Christ's death on behalf of helpless and ungodly sinners.
And I conclude with this question. Are you helpless and ungodly? Or are you too good to need the Son of God to die in your place? Are you too good to need Jesus Christ? Are you? I am not too good to need Jesus Christ, dear friends, and neither are you. The problem with most folks in our culture and in our society is that they do not recognize their own moral helplessness before God, their own depravity and sinfulness before God, and they do not recognize the fact that this sinfulness leads to great ungodliness before God, and we are reprehensible before Him, and we are due great wrath and punishment because of our sins. But Jesus Christ has taken it all, and you need Him, and I need Him. You need to come to Jesus Christ, and I need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to repent of every sin and every form of ungodliness, and you need to turn to Jesus Christ and say, "Yes, Lord, I trust You. You died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty due to sinners, a sinner like me, my sins." You must come to the place that the Apostle Paul came to concerning Jesus Christ when he says, "He loved me and He gave Himself up for me." This is what Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 is all about. "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." Do you trust Jesus Christ? Do you come to Him? That's the ultimate question. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that You'd be pleased to work both repentance and faith within us. Grant, O God, that Your grace would be such, that Your love would be such, that we would not only see it demonstrated in this great work of Jesus Christ, but that we would have that great work of Jesus Christ applied directly, personally, intimately to each one of our hearts by the blessed Holy Spirit working in us that repentance which causes us to turn from every form of ungodliness, and working that faith in us which causes us to recognize our own helplessness and cast ourselves upon Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. Bless us to this end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.